Hello, everyone. My name is Lila Pagola from the University Provincial of Córdoba and the National University of Villa María here in Argentina. First of all, I want to thanks to Libre Graphics and especially to Lars Pfister for this opportunity. I would like to be there with you, but this is the possible way. So today I want to share an ongoing pedagogical experiment made by students of design at university, students of many disciplines in a course called Digital Language. In our field, software is our primary environment, more than just a tool. However, there is an old tension in how we teach it. We often focus on how to use a tool, but rarely why that tool exists or how it shapes our creative agency. When shaping our educational proposals, professors face the same persistent question. How much software should we teach? And more importantly, which software? So this assignment, I'm going to share the experience, is an intent of answer this question. Usually the answer is dictated by industry standards, proprietary suites that have become synonymous with the profession itself. This creates a kind of loop where being a designer is reduced to being a proficient user or an advanced user of a specific brand. It's quite paradoxical because this association of tools with a specific brand would be strongly resisted in other kinds of tools, in design or even in other domains, such as a pencil or a photo camera. So we propose an assignment where students are asked to identify, test, and publicly review every Libre software tool. The key is that they must choose a tool for a task they perform in their daily practice. The aim is to make a practical exercise, not just analysis or abstract considerations. Then they should identify free software correctly, install it, and test it with a common task, make an evaluation and a public review. To prepare them, we don't start with code, we start with philosophy. We present Wilhelm Flusser's black box theory about the photo camera, and we extend the analysis to software like a two-level black box. The black box of hardware and the logic black box of software, following the extrapolation of philosopher from Brazil, Arlindo Machado. By viewing software as a black box, where inputs and go in and outputs come out without the user understanding the internal logic, we challenge the students to pick inside. We want them to understand that the magic of a tool is actually a series of encoded decisions made by developers and commercial goals. We review the core pillars: free software philosophy, copyleft principle, open licensing, and community building. We show them case studies like Blender, to prove that free does not mean limited. all the host. During the testing phase, we ask them to distinguish between two distinct feelings. First, the discomfort from unfamiliarity. This is the frustration of being slow or lost because you don't know the user interface, the functions and their names, the shortcuts, or this choreography executed by an experimented user. Second, we ask to look for objective problems, missing features, poor documentation, or genuine interface failures. By separating these two, students learn to critique a tool fairly rather than dismissing it just because it isn't what they are used to. What they found in their reviews is a deep lack of understanding of the general logic of software types. Many students have a blind trust in the wizard assistance of proprietary tools. Others openly recognize they don't dominate completely the tools they use. This has profound pedagogical implications. Currently, the saying of design competence is often seen as becoming an advanced user of one suite. If technical skill is just mastering one software, what gets lost? We lose a deep understanding and control of the medium, the ability to critically read interfaces, and the most important, the agency over our own tools for creation. In Flusser terms, we are training operators, not authors. By introducing free software, we're trying to restore that sense of agency. Here's some examples. Some students' outcomes of the reviews that could be seen on their blogs. And a student mentioned struggling with the installation on the Mac system because they don't feel fully understand their own computer's software logic. They are this unlearning is part of the process. Another student noted that while Inkscape interface seemed complex at first, they realized it had the same features as Illustrator, just laid out differently. They even found the drawing experience is easier in some areas. The most valued outcome wasn't just finding a new tool. It was the testing process itself. They discovered, in many cases, they discover that the software they use is a choice, not a mandate, because they have alternatives. Many students conclude that they have discovered a whole new world to explore and experiment with. So, thank you very much. I'm happy to take any questions, if any. And you can reach me at the email you see on the screen. Thank you.
Yes.
Oh, great. Oh, we got sound. I can hear you. Can you hear us?
I have a question from the chat. Maybe I can start answers if you... Okay. Did the student get the ability? No. They have to compare because the task is the assignment is to do a daily task completely with the new software because I have tried in previous experiences to do a comparison more general, and it's not useful at all because they don't have a reference point to compare or to do the task. So with an specific task they know well, the daily task they perform, the idea is to do it completely with the new software and to make a comparison. So in the reviews appear in some of them this the question of the discoveries, the possibilities of the new tool, and a kind of conclusion about if they consider or not to continue using the software. In most cases appear this question of the productivity times or the commercial standards of the for instance the printing world like an obstacle or a problem to solve. I have I can share some of the reviews, but they are in Spanish. That's the problem. Because it's very very interesting to see how the students face the this difference between when they can distinguish the question of the unlearning and the unfamiliarity, like something different to the software itself. It's very interesting the reflections they arrive. The problem is reviews are in Spanish. yes, of course, it's possible to share my email without problem. It's a very interesting question. I show them when explaining the difference with a open source code and proprietary code. For instance, this possibility to build vector SVG inside Inkscape. But in my class, I list and also we show we work when in another course after this when we work with HTML we work with code directly, but the situation is students designs the student design students are at least at my class very different in their levels of expertise or technical competencies. So for some of them, a code is a kind of very hard moment. For instance, actually, by this day, I'm working with AI for assistance of the writing of code, because otherwise it's quite hard in the time at least we have.
Um,
Yes, I would like to think that it's possible, Moon, one day some of these students, because of this experience, of course, they own interests and competencies, would contribute with some PLOS project. I think in the development of the curricula in design we have actually is quite personal development of a profile of a student that's not very common in my career, but I guess it would be great, of course, but I guess it's quite exceptional. I think there's one more. Sorry. Oops, yes, because I'm reading the question, but yes, the last question was about my thoughts around students using a PLOS tool, the possibility of contributing one day later down the line. Indeed, maybe has something to do. We continue this experience in another course that follows with a contribution to a free libre project of design such as Wikimedia Commons or Noun Project. Indeed, last year was the first time I essayed to make my students contribute to Noun Project with some little success and another problems, and also to Wikimedia Commons. That was easy with the petitions of graphics in Wikimedia Commons. They take the petitions and solve the needs of the petition. This is a little action that follows this first step with the tools, with the free software. And Rani asks, do your students tend to keep using FOSS software after the class? And any tips on promoting FOSS in university spaces? I guess that some of them are genuinely interested in the world that opens free software because they discover some tools or specific functions that find easier or powerful than the proprietary ones, and maybe they continue using. And it, I don't follow up this question. My tips or my experience, I don't know if they are tips. I guess it's absolutely valuable to expose the students to free software, even if they consider initially that it's a kind of waste of time. and I argue that at least at a public university such as those I work, is absolutely relevant or necessary to know alternatives and to have a critical approach to those. I know not all of them are going to be interested, but I guess it's my responsibility to expose them to code and to free software philosophy, and they decide.
Let's see.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Laste, for all the work
you
have to do for make it happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure if you can actually hear me, but I think that went rather well. I'm pretty proud of the crowd, how they managed to use the chat for this. I think that was great. So thank you all. Thank you, Lila. That was amazing. Greetings to Angina, I said, and I think, and good evening for everyone here. That's a wrap.